Captain Joe, and I am in a captain's chair, but not the captain's chair, because I'm broadcasting to you live, unscripted and unrehearsed, from the courtyard, if we could glorify it by calling it a courtyard, of a Panera Bread restaurant in Santa Ana, California. And I'm with Gail and Fred Nichols, and Fred is one of my Glacier sailors, and he is going to come on in just a minute and talk about some things of mutual interest, and then Gail is going to talk a little bit about art, because she is an accomplished and showing artist. So my greetings today go out to, in particular, my Stockholm family, who I have come to visit, and now at the end of that visit, and I'm headed back to Los Angeles, where I'm going to get the Coast Star Light. Tomorrow I will be the sole occupant of bedroom D in the Coast Star Light from Los Angeles to Seattle, and I am a great fan of train travel, and am looking forward to this one. So my greetings in particular to my Stockholm family, who are now living in San Diego and La Jolla, and we have had just a wonderful visit. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when I get a little bit farther into the program. The binnacle list today, I remain a steadfast but improving occupant of the binnacle list. It was the right thing for me to come to to make this trip, even though there were some times to punch through the discomfort. But both the psychological part of it and the physical part of it, there have been some incremental improvements, and I am counting on those improvements and continuing. And this was really my fortunate day today, because Gail gave me a couple of tips, a couple of hints as to how to mitigate some of the discomfort. And I have followed those, and one of them that she gave me, which beggars my description, but one of those that she gave me has worked beautifully. And so I am indeed the most fortunate of men, because I'm surrounded by people who give me good advice, who are driving me to my train connection, and who are going to be active and enthusiastic participants on this broadcast. So the first one to come on is, I'm going to start with Gail. And Gail is going to put her fork down and be ready to... So Gail is married to Fred, and Fred is the Coast Guard Cutter Glacier Sailor. And to set the stage just a little bit, Mary and I were witnesses at Gail and Fred's wedding in Reno. And Fred has just given me a slip of paper which says that it was on the 15th of May in 2017 that Fred and Gail were married at the Coast Guard reunion. And Fred, when it's your turn, I'd like you to mention the connection that we had to Chief Walker, who was part of that particular reunion. So I'm going to hand the telephone over to Gail and ask her to talk a little bit about her artwork and where she's now showing and what you've got going on. Over to you, Gail.
Thank you. And it's a joy to know Captain Joe. And I'd also like to say it's a joy to be married to a Coastie. And we've been married since 2017. It was my first marriage, only marriage, and it's been good. So Fred is very supportive of my art, which is something Captain Joe wants to abstract. They're currently being shown at a restaurant north of Store in Redondo Beach. They line the wall. There's five of them there. And I've started a series recently. The reason being, I wanted to show what the history of the 1960s and the turmoil that we lived through. I was hoping I would have these out so that there would not be war in Ukraine, so that people would... But it didn't happen. So the paintings are about... I'm presently working on Martin Luther King's speech in 1963 in front of 250,000 people there at Washington, D.C. I Have a Dream. The other paintings are about my experiences with the men who came back from Vietnam and the assassination of Bobby Kennedy, and a little bit of the culture at the time. The John Lennon was very popular. Those are the paintings I'm currently working on. Gives me a lot of smoke.
So thank you very much, Gail, and I'm in particularly interested in things that are that the ladies of the Coast Guard do, and I in particular wanted Gail to talk a little bit about her work and the connection of Gail to Fred to me is. First of all, through the Coast Guard Cutter Glacier. And so the next handoff of the Andy phone is over to Fred, and he is charged with talking about the reunions. And I'd like you to say something about Chief, about Doak, who was part of all of our being together. So the phone's coming over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Captain Joe. Fred Nichols here. Say a couple more things about Gail. Gail and I were classmates in elementary school in 1957. After the Coast Guard, I was married for 44 years and became a widower. Gail and I had always maintained a communication. We'd say happy birthday to each other on many birthdays, talk about our children, and talk about what we were up to. And May 15th, 2017 in Reno, was the last reunion by Chief Doak Walker, and it was an outstanding reunion. That day also turned out to be the 50th anniversary of the day I took the oath for the Coast Guard in Long Beach, California. So it was very suiting to me that we picked that day for a civil wedding, of which Captain Joe was a big part of it, as were some of my other shipmates. Ernie Foster from the Glacier was there. Chief Jones from the Coast Guard Channel was there. So, wonderful day. And at the end of that ceremony, Captain Joe talked about the importance about being on station and watching properly, which is one of the mottos that and what we strive for in our marriage. I want to speak quickly of two reunions that are coming up. If you're a Storrs vet or if you sailed with a Storrs vet, June 2 through 4, Duluth, Minnesota. Gorgeous, gorgeous part of the world that I haven't visited. It's been on my bucket list for a long time. And you can find out at that reunion either through the Coast Guard Channel or through the Storrs page on Facebook. Gail and I intend to be at that reunion, good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. I'm also on the committee for the upcoming Glacier reunion, September 20th to 22nd, in the New London, Connecticut area. We haven't settled in exactly on our hotel. We meet on February 7th. Hopefully we'll make that final decision. And you can get information on that on the Coast Guard Channel main page and also on the Glacier Facebook page. So if you're had a family member, try to attend one of these reunions if you're in the Coast Guard. And Captain Joe, thank you.
So, thank you, Fred, and I will be attending both of those gatherings. and I will be talking about things which are precious to me, which all of Captain Joe's people have heard me talk about many times before. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that happened in my visit here to San Diego. First of all, San Diego for me is a special place because I had my first command at sea here. I was 23. I had just completed my first assignment out of the academy and was assigned as the commanding officer of a Coast Guard patrol boat that was home ported here in San Diego. And it was under during that time that the two chief petty officers that were, one was my XO and one was my chief engineer, and I had 15 sailors, and I was the only officer. And I came under the teaching of Boatswain's Mate Chief Alexander, and in those days they called them Engineman Chief Flynn. And these were two chief petty officers who were really rough cut around the edges. They would have and did fail the captain's language improvement program frequently. Both of them and their captain at that time was known to take an occasional sip of sherry. And I learned from the day that I relieved that little ship until the day that I left her, I learned something every day from those two chiefs. The chief's creed, one of the things that is in the chief's creed is it reminds that everyone who becomes a chief petty officer in the Navy or the Coast Guard is a source of knowledge and experience. And one of the lines in the chief's creed is that heretofore you have always asked the chief, and now you are the chief. And I learned early on to ask Chief Alexander and Chief Flynn and whatever it was that I wanted to learn something about. But in the greater sense, I learned from both of them, and here it comes, because you've heard me say this many times before, and you'll hear me say it many times again, that they practiced what I have now said for all of these many years, that you accomplish the mission and you take care of the people that are entrusted to you to carry out that mission. They did not know the old cavalry saying, but I have adopted the cavalry saying as my own. The good general makes sure that his men and his horses are fed before himself. And the captain's corollary to all of this, of course, is, and I learned this from Chief Alexander in particular, the captain shall show no fear. The captain may be scared absolutely and completely, but he cannot show it. So San Diego is a very special place for me, and so my family and I, we went out to Shelter Island, which is where we berthed, and we found where this little ship tied up, which was our home port. And we then went looking for a restaurant called the Red Sails, which was where the two chiefs and I would take that occasional sip of sherry when we would come back from patrol. And Red Sails, name of the restaurant, no longer there. Now it's called The Catch, but the building is still there. And so we were able to check that out. One of the other things that we did was that I was able to get my family onto the naval base. And all of you have heard me talk about, let's talk first of all about Bonhomme Richard and the fire, the terrible fire that killed her. So we went to the naval base, which is where Bonhomme Richard burned. And we found the berth. There is a sister to her tied up there right now. And one of the things that struck me, we were there on a Saturday. And if Naval Base San Diego on a Saturday is an example of the rest of the Navy. We have now become a 5 days a week, 8 o'clock to 1700 Navy. Almost no one, and no one in any of the ships, not even in the sister to Bonhomme Richard. None of them over the side, no side cleaners, nobody scrubbing decks, no training going on out on the docks. There was nobody. Couldn't find, the only sailor I saw was one lone ensign. Either he had gotten lost, or he was looking for the naval exchange, or somehow or other he was reporting aboard. There were about 10 of the littoral combat ships. Now, you all know of my scorn for those ships because I've talked about it frequently. There were about 10 of them there, and all of them in commission, and none of them, not a single one, had a sailor could be seen. No work going on, no side cleaners over the side, nobody out on the dock practicing, making up heaving lines and practicing heaving them so that they hit the target the first time around. Everybody seemed to be taking a nap. About half of these, the captain's absentee pennant was flying, so the captains were not there. And so, who was? I don't know. But I cannot subscribe to a fleet which works only during civilian working days and working hours. So here are all of these ships at this naval base, and probably counting not only the littoral combat ships, but all of the other ships that were tied up there, some of them being worked on, some of them look like they were just waiting to go to deployment, but none of them had any ships work going on. This is completely beyond my comprehension. The LCS, the littoral combat ships, are first of all ugly ships, and secondly, they have plenty of work to be done. I just looked at each one of them. I could see Irish pennants. I could see rust. I could see all sorts of work that a captain who coming aboard would have had a piece off of his XO, who in turn would have a piece off of the first lieutenant, who in turn would have a piece off of the bosun mate chief to get those things fixed. And these are ships that are home ported there. So if this is the working Navy, then we have a new chief of naval operations. And she, for it is a she needs to go to her bases, and she needs to go to her bases on a Sunday or a Saturday, and she needs to wonder why these ships are, with obviously needing work, they're all in commission because there were commissioning pennants to be seen, jacks flying, flags flying, and all of these, and none of them having any work going on. I commented either last week or the week before that about a photograph that I had seen of a Navy destroyer and the young seaman who was tossing the heaving line onto which was that number two line. By the way, a ship handler always wants to get number two line over first because that's called the spring line. And once you get the number two line over, then you can bring the ship in even under some really heavy weather without the use of any of those tugs. So last week or the week before that, I commented on a photograph of a young sailor who clearly had not been able to properly pass the heaving line, and and I just don't understand why that kind of training isn't going on. All of those ships have a duty section, and apparently all of those duty sections were sleeping in. In the Red Sea, there was the allegation that one of the floating sea bases had been hit by one of the drones from Yemen. Well, it turns out that that was not the case, but this was a floating Navy sea base, the USS Louis B. Puller. That's General Chesty Puller, United States Marine Corps. 5 Navy crosses. And these are essentially floating barracks. And the allegation was during the week that that she had been attacked by a drone. I bring this up because it turns out that that attack did not happen, but we have now had soldiers, young soldiers, from a Georgia National Guard unit killed, and the only way we're going to fix this is to go to the source and take out the source. In the meantime, one of my most fondly held wishes would be to be part of sorting out the situation in the South China Sea on the Spratly Islands. And I have good news to report there, because the Chinese, the People's Republic of China, Chinese Coast Guard, not the Navy and not the militia, but the Chinese Coast Guard, has apparently worked out a deal with the Philippine Coast Guard to allow the old LST that the Philippine Navy has beached on the Spratly Islands to hold on to sovereignty. They've worked out a deal. The captains apparently have worked out a deal where they are able to resupply that particular ship. And this is the approach that I've advocated ever since we started to push and shove around the South China Sea. So I have every hope that maybe this idea will take off, and that people will start to exercise some seaman-like leadership. One of the things that I also noticed, I took my family both on to the naval base, but then we also went to the Naval Air Station on North Island. They used to have seaplanes, P-5M seaplanes there. And now, of course, there are no more seaplanes. But what they do have are the V-22 aircraft, the combination helicopter and aircraft. I've talked about this before. All of the V-22s are now grounded. And it is a system which intuitively feels as if it really shouldn't work. And it hasn't worked very well. They have had a series of accidents with them. And so on the Naval Air Station, North Island, which is also the home port of several carriers, all the carriers are at sea about their father's business. There were probably a total of maybe 40, some in Navy livery, some in Marine Corps livery, of these B-22s just sitting on the ground. So we have tied up in those aircraft all of these sailors. We have tied up in all of the littoral combat ships all of these sailors that have no mission, are not doing anything so far as I could see. And so when the Navy is talking about not having enough people to do all of the things that they're supposed to be doing, I'm going to recommend that the new Chief of Naval Operations make a visit to that particular naval base, and she'll be able to find all kinds of sailors to fill out ship's company for ships that are deployed. The last thing about which I have a little bit of a commentary. When you make a return to your past, you may feel that things have changed to so much that you don't recognize it. one of the things that I wanted to do and one of the things that we did was to go and find the little house that my first wife, Carmencita, and I lived in. One of my children was born in San Diego during that tour. And we found that house. The house is still there. The little street is still there. And now there are freeways everywhere, all around it. But the memories, as we drove on LaSalle Street, little tiny stub street in San Diego, and the memories as we drove out onto Shelter Island, and the memories as we drove to the Red Sails restaurant, now called The Catch, all of these places in which I had such a connection in my first command time, they all came flooding back, and they all came flooding back in the best way. And so if you are of the sort who thinks that you don't want to go back to a place from which you came, I asked Gail a little while ago where her family originally came from, and she told me Massachusetts. And then I told the story about my married family having come to California from Prince Edward Island. And so all of us, or most of us, come from someplace else. I don't know whether Gail wants to go back to Massachusetts. Do you want to go back to Massachusetts? Not to live, all right? And I come originally from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I don't want to go back there to live. And I don't in particular want to come back to San Diego to live. And in fact, I don't want to live anywhere for the rest of my life except on the magical Isle of Vashon. But it is at the same time to reconstruct good times, if it's necessary to expunge dragons from not so good times, then maybe we need to do that. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe I need to do that. And so that's my observation today. This has been a journey of as much spending some time with my Stockholm family that is living here for some months, and to spend some time with Fred and Gail, and but also to go back and to reconstruct a time which was so formative in my own professional personality. If I have been good captain most of the time, some of that is due to all of the experiences that I had with Chief Alexander and Chief Wynn. And those all happened right here in San Diego. So we've come to the end of my time together. This is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am up in the captain's chair. I am on station and watching properly. And next week, I will be broadcasting once again from the Captain's Chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon. And in the meantime, all of you who are on the binnacle list, you are, as always, in the palm of my hand. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. Many thanks to Captain O'Brien for once again, engineering for me whenever I'm traveling, and for all of you who are having some challenges in your life, know that you are in my heart and in my mind. We will meet again right here in just a week. Take care.